Well, we missed the first part of the meeting, by the way, the recording thing. All right, so we don't have any public comments. So we'll go ahead and put you guys up. Go ahead and present.
Well, thank you. I'll just stand over here for everybody to see. I'm Matt Carls with Midwest Meter, and this is your account manager, Michael Bell. And I know you guys have worked a little bit together. We were asked tonight to come and talk a little bit about newer technology for the meter reading systems and stuff. And what we're going to talk about this evening is a solution we've partnered with AT&T to provide meter readings through the cellular network back to you folks. So let's just kind of get started. How's this all work? I've never used this pointer before.
Keep those side, yeah.
The button on the side.
Yeah, I'm getting it going. Do you have a like a pointer on it or anything?
A little button, but it doesn't really show up.
It doesn't show very well, so.
Okay, let's just keep rolling here. All right, well, as you can see, starting from the top left, working down, that Badger Meter, we manufacture a lot of different types of water meters, whether it be residential all the way through commercial. So what does that mean for you? It means that, you know, you can rest assured knowing that, you know, whether you need a larger meter for the water or the water plant, or maybe something for Casey's, or maybe it's something out of the ordinary other than just a 5/8 meter, we manufacture them and have since 1905. So with that being said, then if you just go over a column, then that's the different type of technology we have for you. We have technologies that we can read through a handheld drive-by system. We have systems that you can put an antenna up on top of the water tower and read your meters that way. Or the newest one is the very bottom is the the middle one is the cellular endpoint. That really makes the most sense today for most utilities, because when you do that, there's absolutely no infrastructure to mount at all in town at all. What we normally do, or what we will do, is just use the same cellular network that's in this area already that you use for your cell phones, okay? Now, the network that we ride on is just a little bit different than what you're going to find for your cell phone. The commercial, once you get those out, we'll just set up here. It's pretty informal tonight. The chipset that's inside of our radio device is a commercial-grade chipset. It's not a chipset like you're going to find in a phone. It's similar. It will work on the network similar, but it is a little bit different. And the reason it's got to be different is because we've got to make sure that information gets through, right? That's the same type of chipset they're going to use, like in heart monitors. A lot of beverage companies, your agricultural companies, they all use a commercial chipset. It's called machine-to-machine. We got to have our machines talking to other machines and make sure that data gets there. So it's a little bit different way of doing it. And something that's relatively new to our industry, when I say our industry, I mean the water industry, is everything's hosted in the cloud now. Okay, there's no more client-based software that we're going to load here on site at the city. You will just have your own website, basically, that you'll be able to go to, log in with some secure credentials, and then you'll have access to that data. Now, why is that important? It's very important because all of a sudden, you know, in about a 3-year span, we went from only maybe one or two people having access to the data. Now everybody has access to the data. When I mean everybody in your department that you give, you know, access to, right? So you have access to it, whether you're in Champaign, picking up parts, you can use your smartphone to look at the data. If one of you council members are interested in helping a customer understand and work through a problem, you guys can log into the site as well and look at that same data. So it's very, very helpful. Let's just keep moving on here. So what's this software look like that's hosted in the cloud? This is what you would see every time you bring up the software, like on a PC or maybe a tablet, even on your smartphone. Actually, it would look like this, but it's a little harder to see on a device that size. But what you have available to you is billing reads, you'd have exception reports, network health, endpoint health, overall system usage, system search, key account overviews, and customer portal metrics. So let's just kind of touch on every one of these. The available billing reads would be up here in your top left corner. It would show you just exactly what's going on every day in your system. Because you have to remember, and I'm getting maybe a little ahead of myself here, but because we're using the cellular network, we're reading that meter every 15 minutes for you. Now, right now, you're reading meters once a month.
Right.
One time a month. If an event takes place at that home, whether it be a leaky toilet, a pipe break or something like that, you may not know about it for 29 days in some hours, right? 15 minutes we're reading it. Every 15 minutes, that's 96 times a day we read each water meter in town for you. Why is that important? It's so that you can look at these widgets on this software, and it's going to tell you, well, they've moved this around a little bit. The right column, or the right side of the slide there, shows that like 103 or 133, those are leaks that are detected in town that have happened within the last 24 hours.
So that's the overall network?
No, that is per, there's 133 meters. Well, you're right. There's 133 meters in town showing some sort of a leak, okay? Then you can just drill down from there. I would prefer to do a live software demo for you tonight, but with 30 minutes, I didn't really have any time. So really what I want to do tonight is just kind of show you an overview of what the software is going to look like. And if this does strike some interest with you and the council, then we can come back and do an actual live demo. We can show you our COLAs. We can show you a lot of people that are using it around here. But this is some of the stuff that you're going to get to see, and it's all at your fingertips. You know, in the past with client-based software, you had to dive through and dig through client-based software to even run a report. Well, right now, this stuff's right here at your fingertips anytime you want. Network health is important. Endpoint health. One of the ones that I was going to point out is the overall system usage. If you look down at the bottom there, this is kind of neat, because now you buy water or you produce your own.
We buy water.
You do buy water. So say you buy 150,000 gallons a day. I'm just guessing. Maybe it's 200,000, maybe it's more. Right now, for an accountability, you would have to say, okay, over the last 30 days, I bought this much. Now, I read my meters, and it took me 2 or 3 days to get that done. I could bounce off and kind of get some sort of unaccounted for, right? If you have this blanketed with cellular meters and are reporting in every day, right, 4 times a day, you can look at this and say, okay, since 8 o'clock yesterday morning to 8 o'clock this morning, I bought this much water. You could actually go right to your deal there and say, okay, in the last 24 hours, I sold through every one of my meters collectively X amount of gallons. So every day you can be checking your unaccounted for. If you start to see that grow apart, then all of a sudden you can start looking at your large meters. Okay, do I have any large meters now that are showing less consumption than normal? Or if everything seems to be fine, apparently I must have a leak someplace, right? So the accountability portion of that is really, really important. And it seems every time we talk about all of this, that's the one that people always say, that's really cool. That'd be really neat that every day I could sit and look at my unaccounted for water. Because buying water is not cheap.
Right.
You know, producing it's not either, though. So let's look at this customer service analytics dispute resolution. Your billing clerk's not here tonight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She does it all.
She does it all. Well, we hear that a lot. So, in an event that someone would come in and talk to you about a high water bill, how do you handle those?
I send the guys out to look at the meter.
To do a reread?
Mm-hmm.
Can you extract any historical data off of those now?
It depends if the battery's good or not.
Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't.
Is it an hourly data then?
Depends.
Okay.
I mean, what I've done was like 6-hour increments.
Okay.
Just because I can go back a month or 2 months and kind of see usage that way. And that kind of shows your spikes.
Sure.
Usually.
Sure.
So.
Well, right now you would have to have a truck roll. You know, if you have this type of software, no truck rolls are needed. You don't have to send the guys anymore. These guys, you're going to be able to see whether or not there's a leak in someone's home, you know, worst case scenario within a 24-hour period. Might very well be within just a 6-hour period if it happens in that time frame, because it's going to call in 4 times a day, right?
Yeah.
So we may catch it within 6 hours of the leak starting. That's huge compared to what you're doing today. And then you have this access or this data at your fingertips right there on the software. Now, the cool part of it is if they're at work, they can log in through their own customer portal during working hours, rather than try to take off work, and I got kids and this and that, and I got to get to City Hall and talk to you. They could call you on their lunch hour. You could pull it up and say, listen, we're looking at the same exact data here. Let me show you on Wednesday at 5:30 in the morning. I see something took place. You started using water, and it ran all day long. and about 8:30 that night it quit. And look, it did it the same thing the next day. So you could then start dialing in and looking at hours. You can actually look at every 15-minute windows of how water consumption is being used. So that's very powerful for you as a tool to help, you know, help those customers figure out why they have such a high water bill. Does that make sense? One of the things that you had mentioned that you guys were very interested in is a customer portal, right? You want your customers to have access to the data. That is a growing trend. It's something that we're seeing more and more utilities do. There's a lot of, this could take a while to unpack, and I'm going to try to do the best I can in just the few minutes that we have together. But the customer portal is going to allow your customers anywhere in the world to log in on their smart device, whether it be a phone, a tablet, even a home PC, and have access to their data and their data only. So that is something you'll set up at City Hall. If you have a customer come in and say, I would like to sign up for this, it doesn't cost any extra. But there is a little bit of setup that you have to do. You have to get a name and an address, phone number, everything, and get them set up in the system. At that point in time, then they'll have a login so that they can, you know, it'd be a secure login that they can set in at any time, anywhere. As long as you got internet access, you can look at the data. There's triggers that can be set in the software so that, say, some they're getting ready to go south for the winter. We see this a lot. Snowbirds, they want to go south. Okay, it's time to go. What am I going to do about my water meter? Either shut it off. Maybe I got family to come over once in a while. Whatever the case is, we'll leave the water on. They can actually set triggers now in the software to send them a text message. They could be in Florida, and if they, you know, they set the trigger, say, listen, there shouldn't be any usage at all in my home while I'm gone during this period of time, from, you know, January 1st to April 1st, no usage. I shouldn't see any usage at all. If I see usage in my home, I want you to send me an email. And the system will automatically send them an email or a text message letting them know that the water consumption was being used. Now, you can actually create your own list of snowbirds in that previous screen. I think it was two screens ahead of this one, where you could have a snowbird list that you could just look at every day so that you would know whether there's any consumption as well, right? But wouldn't that be nice for your customer to be able to know that there was water used in their home while they were gone?
Right.
Yeah. Because we've all heard the story when they came back and they were gone for 3 months and they had a $3,000 water bill or whatever the case was, and that could have been prevented, right? So I know you guys are in the business to sell water, and I get that, but, you know, with the precious resource that it is, we don't want to waste it either, right? Because you have to treat it. You know, nobody got any good out of that water. It went right down the drain and right to the sewer plant. And So any questions on the consumer portal part of this? It's just going to, you know, allow your customers to log in, look at their data only. It's going to allow them to set triggers in the software, basically, or a switch, however you want to look at it, to allow them to monitor their own water consumption.
So all the information is stored in 15-minute increments in the cloud?
Yes. And we're going to keep hourly data for you for 3 years in the cloud. It's all part of the deal. So you'll have hourly data there that will store for 3 years, up to 3 years. Okay.
And you've tested out AT&T in our area?
Yes.
I'll need to get a list of your addresses in an Excel file. I'll submit that to Badger. They'll send it to AT&T. It's all free of charge. There's no cost, but I'll need that so we can check it out.
Okay. When I said that, I'm sorry. We were talking about another one today, or I was talking to somebody else today,
yeah.
And I thought that we had already ran it for these guys.
Because AT&T doesn't have the best service here in town.
We hear that a lot. So. But when we talk machine-to-machine networks, you probably would be very surprised at the coverage they have. In fact, we've seen this product installed in areas that we thought there's little to no coverage for AT&T 4G. We can actually go back to 3G if we need to. The product is smart enough to know whatever network it needs to jump on. But the machine-to-machine network is a little bit different than what you're currently using with your phones. So, but yeah, that's a good point to bring up. You know, that's one of the things that we're going to do right off the bat is run a prop study just to make sure. You know, this product was developed with and by AT&T. So we know, you know, again, the slide's going to tell it in a minute. Why did we partner with them? Because they've been doing it for 125 years. They know communications. Let's talk a little bit about the endpoint then. Operates on the long-term evolution, the LTE network. If LTE is not available in the deployment area, we'll just ride on the 3G network, okay? Two-way communication device that communicates on the latest AT&T network. Now, I will tell you, by the time you guys do this, more than likely, if you decide to make this like a summer project for you, 5G is going to be out, and which is good for you because our 5G product I've seen used, we're in beta test for it now, it rocks. It's 5G is designed to permeate subsurface. Have you ever noticed, like, if you go into a basement, sometimes your phone will, you know, you'll drop maybe two or three bars, you'd be like, then you get upstairs, it's fine again. You get 5G will penetrate Earth, and it goes actually further. So it goes higher, further, and deeper. And that's one of the reasons 5G is really being pushed along, because a lot of our first responders now, and I know he just took a call, they're using devices now that are going to ride on this 5G network. Okay? We got to make sure that we have communication. It is two-way. Why is it two-way? It's two-way because we want to be able to communicate back and forth with this device. In the event that AT&T decides to make some firmware upgrades to their towers, they can push those firmware upgrades right to the endpoint as well through their own network. They do that for us. Okay. One of the things that's important to mention, I'm going to, again, get ahead of myself here a little bit. When everybody talks about cloud computing, a lot of times I see people kind of, I lose them at that point in time. You have to understand that when we are writing all this information across the network, it never touches the public web. It never does that. Now, you have access, but when you have access to Beacon software, that information is writing on the AT&T secure network. It never touches the public web. I really want to make a point of that because I think that there's our competition out there like, hey, they're putting your information out there on the web for anybody to see. That's not the case. It never touches the web. Okay? Okay, Badger partnered with AT&T for lots of reasons. If you start to look around at smart city information, I notice you got the Illinois Municipal League magazine and stuff. Smart city is something that's really being talked about. We're trying to communicate and talk to other devices, obviously, but we're able to control just about anything today through the cellular network, whether it be streetlights, parking meters, I mean, you name it. And that's really what they talk about when they're saying a smart city where everything's kind of communicating together. Well, we're doing that. And AT&T is at the forefront of all of that. Coverage in the U.S. and around the world. Time to market is another reason we did that because they've already been doing this with vending machines. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but most of your vending machines today have cellular cards in them so that they're communicating back to the distribution center. They'll tell the truck driver exactly what he needs to load on his truck. So if that soda machine on the 90th floor in downtown Chicago, where you have to double park your truck to take stuff in, it doesn't make sense for him to be carrying stuff in and out and be in there as long as he needs to be if he knows that he only has to take a few cans with him. Is that right? It makes sense. So we've been doing this a long time, 135 years. I was wrong by 10 years there. 135 years of communication experience is what AT&T does or has been doing. Transitions automatically to the appropriate network. We talked about that. It's built and improved upon specification in an existing cellular point. How about the operation? We've talked about this. 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes, this little device is going to wake up, and it's going to go down, and it's going to read this encoded register, and it's going to update its microprocessor, and then every hour, it's going to send that information to the cellular network. I say every hour, every 6 hours, excuse me. It'll do that 4 times a day. This says communication is once per day. That has been changed since this slide. So, standard 42 days of usage. So in the event that the network should happen to go down, we're going to store 42 days of usage inside this device for you so that if the network was to go down for any length of time, when it comes back on, all that data is then backfilled into the software so you don't lose, you don't have gaps. That's important because if you need to go back and look at someone's historical data after an event's taken place, you don't want to go in there and find out that there's blanks in the data because that wouldn't be very good if it happened to be the time that they had an event in their house, right? So we got to make sure and keep all that information stored and then backfilled in the event. Now, I will tell you, even in Superstorm Sandy, they said that the cellular networks were down little to no time at all they will back up, because most of these companies, they have disaster type equipment where they can come in and use cellular equipment just based off of a trailer. You know, if the tower was to go down, they could put up, you know, just temporary stuff to keep networks up and running. Cellular endpoint communication should not be equated with cellular calls, and here's why. The reason I put this slide in is because I don't know if you're talking to anybody else. Typically, we see most utilities, they talk to other vendors and to other cities and different things, what they're doing. And our competition has not come up with this product yet. This has been a product that's been in the making for a long time. We've had it on the market already for 4 years. And, you know, when you're kind of taking market share and you kind of have cutting edge technology and nobody else does, they're after you. And I can honestly say that. And early on, you know, some of the struggles that we've seen with cellular technology is just making sure we got good signal everywhere, right? Well, one thing about a cellular call moves from cell tower to cell tower. When people say, well, how are you going to keep from dropping me? Well, we're not moving. That's a fixed tower outside of town, and this is a fixed device that's not moving in the house, right? Whether it be in a meter pit or wherever it's at. So once we connect, we don't have to worry about that. I'm moving and I'm getting further away and things like that. So there's a distinctive difference there. Requires good connection for clear voice. This is not a voice message. This is a text message. So we're not taking voice, converting it to basically text, and then reintroducing it as a voice again on the other end. It's a text message all the way through. And we've all seen where you can send text messages a lot of times where you can't talk to somebody. Calls are lengthy. Minutes are, you know, you're sitting there talking for several minutes at a time. When you're talking to someone on the phone, our data packets are microseconds long. In fact, I think it's like 5 milliseconds is what they said it takes to send that packet, so it's not long at all. AT&T is an internet leader of things. Anybody heard that term being used? If you start reading any water publications at all, you'll start hearing things about the Internet of Things. There's 32 million plus devices connected. This is just another one of them. There's a lot of different types of devices. 3,000 different types of devices now are being, you know, ran through the cellular network. So, and this is not counting necessarily, well, out of that 3,000, a cell phone would be one of those. So there's a lot of information being passed back and forth through the cellular networks. 22 different relationships with leading automotive brands, and 200 plus countries support the global SIM card. Why is all that important? Well, AT&T has spent a tremendous amount of money getting this network up and running, because see, this is where the money's at for them. Moving data, this type of data, this commercial data, whether it be for Caterpillar, John Deere, then the list goes on and on and on. That's where the money's at. Selling a cell phone to you or I or to one of our kids, that is brutal business. You know, they're splitting pennies, I'm sure, just trying to get market share. And there's a big race right now between Verizon and AT&T, some of these other companies. Who's going to have this network to handle all this data? Because you stop and think about smart, or you start thinking of parking meters. How many parking meters there are in the world, I don't know. But see, parking meters today, most of them are communicating through the cellular network. It's interesting. The days of having to have a dime or a quarter and flip the switch, that doesn't really happen much anymore. You still see a few of them around, but that doesn't really necessarily happen. What I talked a little earlier about the radio and the network security, see, we ride on AT&T and network, and then it's on a geo-redundant mobility data center, the AT&T AVPN. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe your tech guy can probably tell you what all that those acronyms are, but I do know that it never touches the public web. Any questions?
So on your meters,
mm-hmm.
You have one. Let me go back to them here. You have one ultrasonic, and the rest of them all this side. This kind of like this.
I'm gonna turn this over to Mike. He's the one that did all your prices.
Are you talking about the quote that I sent?
No, I'm just asking. I haven't even looked at the quote.
I don't have
that. The quote was one we got. Well, I looked at it a couple months ago. I haven't looked at it recently. But there's an ultrasonic meter you have listed on the slideshow.
Second slide.
It's the second slide. And then there's just a regular meter. I take it this is just the regular meter.
That's a standard.
And then,
for all model 25.
Okay. And then you have the ultrasonics too. What's the price difference between the ultrasonic and these?
That one there's, if you guys do the all 1300, I've put that price at 210.
Okay.
If you went with an ultrasonic, you'd probably have to add about 20, 25 bucks to that.
Okay.
In a bronze. I mean, stainless steel.
Polymer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not plastic, but plastic-like.
Right.
Engineered polymer.
Engineered polymer.
Engineered polymer.
Fancy word in it.
Well, they also make it stainless steel, is why I asked.
Oh, do they? Okay. Yeah.
But they get pretty expensive. Are you interested in ultrasonic static metering?
We had another bid from ultrasonic, and I was just kind of comparing them.
Oh, okay.
You know,
sure.
Apples to apples, opposed to...
Is there a way for them to manually read the meters if the network is having an issue?
Absolutely.
Is that what that thing is for?
This device also has a mobile backup. So if you purchase a handheld with the system, in the event that the network was down, you could always read it with a handheld. I'll just be completely honest with you. In the 4 years, I've never had a network outage.
You can get the reading off the top of the register.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can physically read it here, but you could also, say it was in a basement and it was hard access, you could read it with a handheld. I think it's just an awful lot of money spent that is not necessarily a good use of money, to be honest with you, because you may never use it.
Right.
You know, the networks are so reliable today, it's crazy.
Like, that's digital.
It really is.
I will tell you that just experience, because I've been doing this 25 years and Matt's been doing it for, I don't know, you at 35 or?
Close to it.
Yeah.
You're starting to show my
The idea. Model 25 has been around since 1972.
Okay.
And the polymer, E-Series, Badger makes one, but I would put that on the test bench right next to it, and that would do everything
What's the warranty like on these?
750,000 gallons for 5 years, correct?
5 years or 750,000 gallons to meet the new meter manufacturer's specifications as if it's in the factory, or 15 years, 2.5 million for repair meter accuracy.
Okay, what about the ultrasonic?
It's 20-year. The first 10 is full 10, and the second 10 is prorated to maintain that accuracy at plus or minus, is it 1.5% on that?
I think so, yeah, 1.5%.
Battery-wise. 20 years.
One of the things about static meters, if you guys have time tonight, you know, do your research. We sell static meters. In fact, we've had them for a long time. You know, for guys like you and ladies like you, when a static meter has problems, I see there's a real struggle in the industry to explain to a customer why did it run fast or why did it run slow, because it's electronic, it's static, there's no moving parts, right? It's difficult. It doesn't take much searching on the internet to find out that some of these manufacturers have had a lot of issues with static meters. There's been some cities, several cities have had to just do complete change outs. And all the reason I'm telling you that is, I'm very confident in static metering. But the nice thing of it is about a positive displacement meter is it's a known volume. It's much easier to explain to somebody if that meter is running slow, which that meter cannot run fast unless someone puts the wrong register on it, but that's just a known volume. It's water in, water out, where a static meter does not have moving parts. And when you do have questions about it, how does it operate, it's dang difficult for someone like you to start explaining Faraday's law and all this different things that go in play with with a static meter, whether it be transit time or ultrasonic. Those are just hard things to explain to a customer. And that's one reason I'm old school. I still like a positive displacement meter. And to Mike's point, we've had people within our own organization that have installed these in line with static meters. And the only time you'll see much difference at all in the usage month to month would be in the winter time if someone had a humidifier built onto their furnace. But at the end of the year, most times there'll be like little to no difference between the consumption on that meter versus an ultrasonic. So what that has proven to us as salespeople, is it really worth that extra $25, $30, $50 a piece up front? Now, you know, you do have 20-year sustained meter accuracy warranty, but we know that meter has been around since 1973, and quite frankly, we pull them out all the time, test them on volumetric tanks, and they test fine, even with upwards of 1 million gallons on them. So that being said, I kind of digress from there, but I just think that that is, for a small community, you know, when those questions come up, it's just a lot easier to explain to somebody. You agree?
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Any questions, guys?
Did you want to pass out those?
Yeah, I got some pricing. Matthew originally asked me for a quote on 400 when we were first talking about this, and then he said, well, give me a quote on all 1300. So you'll see both of them in here, and for the 1300, I backed that off by about $5 a meter.
Okay.
I'm still in the spirit of Christmas, I guess.
Yeah. And then I take it you have to cut a hole in the top of the top of
yes,
the thing for the
centimeter pit.
And it's a plastic lid also, and that's part of the quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fits so in we're not we're just replacing lids then. We're not cutting all that
right
stuff.
Okay. Yep.
And there's a list of references in there. You can call Arcola, Atwood. Couple of rural water districts in the area that use this.
And you know, Tuscola has been a really good customer of ours for years, and they've got a traditional fixed network. They decided to buy their network prior to the cellular product coming out on the market. I mean, if you just want to talk to someone who's used our product for a long time, if you're looking and you're trying to compare us against a traditional fixed network, one of the things that, and we sell traditional fixed networks, but quite frankly, we're not selling very many anymore. And part of that is because when you buy a traditional fixed network, you have to mount antennas on a water tower or something yourself, which means you have to maintain it. Not everybody wants to get on top of a water tower. You know, if it gets painted, lightning strike, anything that would require someone, that gets kind of expensive. It's nice to know that I've owned the network, but at the same token, you have to manage that network. There's FCC regulations that make sure that you have to keep your antennas tuned. Those are some of the hidden costs to a traditional fixed network that people don't really want to talk about because it gets pretty pricey. And that's one of the reasons Badger Meter said, listen, all the rest of the industries are using the cellular. They're using the cellular as the backbone. I mean, who knows communication any better than the cellular network? Not anybody. I mean, you guys can't build your own network that's more robust than a cellular network. So, you know, we may have put all of our eggs in one basket, but that's the direction that they decided to take, and quite frankly, we've been very successful with it.
Did you want us to touch on the lease finance option?
Okay. Yeah. I don't have a copy of it, but look in there. We have partnered with Government Capital out of Southlake, Texas, and been very successful with lease purchasing. This allows folks like yourselves to go ahead and maybe just do the whole system at once and take 10 years to pay for it? Is that, do they have 10, 12 year
well,
terms?
Well, I got to get it updated. I found out too late, and she gave me revised numbers for a quantity of 400.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of know where the interest rate is, so you guys can probably plug in your own figures in there and figure it out. But I will get that updated for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, Tara's great. She's my age. She's, you know, she's been in for over 30 years too. I asked for one like at 10 o'clock in the morning. By 1, I had it. I mean,
I
she's
got that one this morning.
Yeah,
I forgot to ask for 1300.
Yeah. So
well, and the thing, it's not going to be 1300 3/4 inch either because we don't know exactly what we have out there.
Yeah.
I think majority of them are going to be the 3/4 inch, but it's kind of a surprise every time we open one up and go to replace one.
Yeah, that's what Matt said.
So
yeah. And you may have some larger ones too. That
you know what how much it jumps up going to the different sizes. Or do you have it in here?
I put 51 inch on there. I put an inch and a half on there.
Perfect.
2 inch.
Oh yeah. Okay. I see now.
Okay.
Yep. I guess I just had to keep looking down.
That's all right.
Yeah. You know, once if we're fortunate enough to get your business, you know, we'll come up and spend some time helping you figure out what sizes you've got, where they're at, whether it really needs to be changed or not. If it's relatively new, this product will work on other manufacturers' water meters. So say, for instance, you just put one at the school. I'm just going to use it as a hypothetical situation, and I spent $3,000 on that meter. I don't want to change it. You know, that If you've been buying master meters and you buy their larger meters, you know, we can hook this right to one of their, Octave. You know, those will hook right to it. So that'll help protect that investment. Do you? Okay. Yeah. And so that'll hook right to their encoder. Yeah. Yeah.
And you replaced like 200 meters this year, didn't you? And we have at least 200 meters plus that need replaced now, currently.
Now, the 200 you just put in, what brand are those?
Master.
Okay. So they did we warranty those and give them back to you? Or that's not my business, but my point is you put new ones in. So yeah. Those 200 can be retrofitted then.
If the encoder will fit on the meter itself, because they're not wired meters.
So you, okay. Yeah, if they don't have the wire on them, then yeah, you'd have to either buy a new encoder. By the time you do that, you could probably buy a brand new meter and encoder from us.
Yeah.
Probably as cheap, yeah. Honestly. But buying stuff by parts is always more expensive than buying it as a unit. It just is. But on the larger ones, you know, something a guy would.
Right. And we've got
2 inch and larger.
We haven't changed too many.
What's your unaccounted for look like right now? Okay. The reason I ask that is because that's one of the places that we know our business has been around since 1963, testing water meters and stuff. We still do that. And in fact, we cover 5 states doing it. And, you know, one of the things that Mike and I always like to recommend to you is maybe I look at some of these larger meters. Maybe, you know, because the 80-20 rule is something to always think about. You know, 80% of your consumption is through 20% of your water meters. You know, why are we worried about changing out the meter at Mrs. Jones's house? She lives there by herself. She's a widow. When I've got the school over here that's got 300 kids in it during the day, and that meter's 20 years old.
Right.
That meter ought to be changed every 4 years, probably. Quite frankly, it'll pay for itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least test it. So, you know, it's just food for thought.
Right.
Everybody seems to want to tackle it just the opposite. Let's go get all of our residential. Well, that really doesn't make the most sense if you're trying to find some bang for your buck and help pay for the system.
Right.
Oh, yeah, in the spring,
so,
especially.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell when they're using a bunch of water that our consumption goes way up.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the software is, you know, that's going to be one of your favorites. You can create your own favorite list of meters that you want to monitor.
Yeah.
And the reason you want to monitor them is because you want to notice that, hey, if that meter starts to show less usage on it, and you know it's at the peak season, is there something wrong with that meter? What's going on? So, you know, the software's smart enough to kind of let you know, wait a minute. This thing's down by 10%.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't seem right.
So with your link reports, does that give you, that tells you which addresses are popping up as a link?
Well, actually, if I could show you the software if we had time, it's tied to Google Maps. So then you would say that the one that had 133 leaks on it, you could click on that, and then it would show you a Google Earth, or not a Google Earth, but a Google Map,
yeah.
Satellite view or street view, whatever you want. And it'll show you icons all over your city of which homes have the leaks and where they're at. You just click on whatever icon you're looking for. Or there's a search bar at the top. Say you kind of know it's Mrs. Jones again. She's, you know, every month she calls me about the same thing. You can just type in Jones. There might be 3 different Jones with the last name in town. You pick the one you want. Then it would just, it would hide everybody else and just bring her information up.
Okay.
It's that fast and that easy.
Okay.
They've done a really nice job of making the software very user-friendly to get through. Yeah, software's changed in the last, I've seen more changes in software probably the last 5 years than I had the first, or the 15 prior to it.
Yeah.
You know, mobile drive-by systems, they just didn't do anything with them.
Yeah.
You know, mobile drive-by has been around for, well, I sold one in 1993 out in Missouri, so what's that been, 26 years ago?
Right.
People ask us today, yeah, you got a drive-by system? Yeah, but we don't sell them anymore. I mean, nobody wants to talk about drive-by anymore. They just don't. I mean, if you guys want to get into technology that's on the front edge, this is definitely it, more so than even a traditional fixed network. You know, it just, you know, we've been selling traditional fixed networks for how long? 15 years? So, you know, I mean, you just, this is the newest mousetrap.
Yeah. Well, probably the next thing we should probably really do is get the addresses to you, run that through the system. If there's areas we want to try and expand to, we can have those areas in and then kind of go from there. So.
Okay. Let me explain the 89-cent fee, because it's probably on there, right?
It is.
89 cents per month per meter is what we charge you. Now, everybody immediately sits back in their chair and like, what? 89 cents? Let me do the math here. Okay, it sounds like a lot of money, but 89 cents, we're reading that meter 96 times a day. We're delivering it to you anywhere in the world. And it also covers your Ion Water customer portal costs. So all your customers can be on a consumer portal if they want. It takes care of all firmware upgrades. It takes care of all software upgrades. There are no maintenance fees to our software. You know, before with like a mobile drive-by system, you had maintenance fees for software. This is one fee, covers it all, 89 cents. And that's about as simple as I can explain it.
And we've got three of our own tech support specialists on our staff.
Yeah.
So if a clerk has trouble, we got three people at your fingertips.
You're not calling India. And no disrespect to those folks, but I know that our number one competitor, who just so happens to have a static meter, they just shifted their tech support overseas.
Yeah.
Our tech support's in Edinburgh, Illinois, which is an hour and 19 minutes from my house to here.
Yeah.
And then we've got one in St. Louis and one in Wisconsin. And if they're all busy, and sometimes they are, you guys can call Milwaukee. And guess what? That 89 cents covers that call. So you're not gonna get billed by tech support if you want to pick up the phone and call them about something. So there's a lot packed into that 89 cents that I really need to explain, because when people start getting their phones out and their calculators running, it's going to be $1,000 a month to read meters. And yeah, but I'm reading it 96 times a day for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm bringing you back data like you've never seen before.
Has that fee ever went up?
Nope. Actually, it came down. Because 4 years ago, it was about $1 something a meter. Yeah, it went from $3 a meter down to about, what, $1.70 down to 89. So, you know, as more and more people get on, it's being more and more accepted. We've seen the price actually come down. Now, it's kind of plateaued for about the last 3 years at 89 cents. I don't know that it's going to go any lower than that. And you can lock that in for 10 years. Decide you want to buy 10 years worth of data up front, buy it, and then you're done. You're not writing any more checks for another 10 years. You're done. Well, after you buy the meters, in fact, if you guys finance this, I would highly encourage you to go ahead and buy 10 years worth of data. You're done. I mean, you don't have any maintenance fees at the end of the year. You don't have anything. You just let the system ride.
And that may even get it down to 83 cents.
It probably would get you down to 83 cents, 84 cents, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. 10 years.
Yep. That's a good point, Mike. You can buy it down. I know it's a lot to digest. We're always happy to come back, especially as close as you guys are to us. Mike's standing, he's in this area all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily, I got several states, but happy to come back anytime.
So,
if you had time to digest it.
You guys have the Badger meters, so you're the company. We're dealing with the company, not the...
Well, we are the distributor.
Because that was our problem with Master Meter, is we kept getting passed around on whoever...
We are the only distributor for Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and part of Kentucky.
Okay.
We're the number one largest distributor in the nation and have been a distributor since 1987.
And that's one of the reasons we want to get away from Master Meters, because we're having problems with the distributors.
They're having problems nationwide with their distribution.
So
I'm not saying that, you know, in any way other than I know. I mean, we're hearing it every day. It's I know the guys at Master Meter really well. Yeah, they're trying to raise families just like the rest of us, but somewhere at the top, somebody's been making some really bad decisions, because they have had a real struggle about the last 5 years with distribution, and it's led us to meetings like this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here to negative talk anybody.
No, but
you're
one of
right.
Our concerns.
That's been their biggest problem.
We want to make sure we can call you up and say, hey, we need 3 meters right now, and we can get them, and not.
We keep over $1 million of meters just in Edinburgh alone. I don't say that very loud, because we don't have the best security system in the world.
Yeah, I can see someone scrapping the brass.
Yeah, we've had that happen, haven't we, Mike? copper pipe. When copper pipe went up a few years ago, yeah, somebody got one of our buildings and took a bunch of it. So. All
right. Well, any more questions for these guys? Cool. And we've got your guys' contacts, so we can call you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for your time, because it's a learning curve.
It certainly is.
We're wanting to do something and do something soon. So.
Well, you know, again, once you've had time to digest this and think about it a little bit, you know, if you want to have a special committee meeting or something where you guys, we can sit down and go through the software. We could do that online as well. If it's hard for everybody to get together, we do web sessions all the time.
Okay.
You know, our tech support group, they'll just put together a web session, invite everybody that wants to be on it, and we'll just show you the software live demo. We can do that from anywhere, right? That's a nice thing.
Right.
It takes probably a half hour, 45 minutes to go through the software, and then everybody go back to doing whatever they're doing.
So we don't have to bore everybody that's watching this online. And
My email address is on that card. If you want to send me those addresses.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. Is that everything, Mike?
I'm going to go back to the here. They only need $12.99.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
With Rob here, we do.
Do what?
4-7.
4-7.
Bills now.
Do we have enough? We have enough people to pay bills, right? Yes. Or do I have to vote? I have to vote.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you need to go?
Huh? No, I just was getting ready to sign.
Oh yeah, sign away. Make sure we have two signatures on every check.
That's what Nikki's for.
So I don't get phone calls.
You already got a pen handy. She's ready.
Okay. I guess we'll just go ahead and move on to you. It's all yours.
That. Midwest Meter coming in to do their presentation this evening. So just a couple small things. We got the snowplow, the hitch, and the stainless steel spreader a little less. We had a lower quote from another company, so I got them to match the price on for up there in Dixon. So the quote that I gave,
perfect.
Whenever they invoice us, they'll always pay that.
And it's all on and everything?
No.
No, not yet.
Next Wednesday, we'll take that truck up. So.
Who was your other quote from?
Ron Equipment over in Tilton.
Okay.
Their plow was more expensive. They didn't have any plow like that, so it was just came out a lot more pricey than that. So, I can't really think of anything else. I'm working with John Deere, trying to get a couple options on equipment pricing for a front end loader. So, I've been conversing with the salesman a little bit while I've been off. We'll probably meet up sometime this week or next week, kind of go over a few other things. I also spoke with a company that's running the sewer plant for Shelbyville. I'm going to meet up with them tomorrow morning, kind of go over, take a look at our sewer plant, discuss with them if they maintain and do general maintenance, stuff like that, on lift stations, just to kind of get pricing options between ERH and this company. So, just to kind of make sure we're getting the most bang for our buck with that. So, but I'll have more information after tomorrow on that. So,
you know, I just kind of know what kind of pre planning they do of. You know you have to replace this in 5 years, so we're going to tell you now, not, well, you should replace this 2 months ago, it's broken.
Right.
You got to do this now.
Right.
Which seems to be kind of what we're getting a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of why we had engineering firm kind of go through and do an audit on all of their stations, kind of do a report to figure out what was wrong, what needed to be replaced, and stuff like that. So that's also another thing that Rob and I just received an email on as of Friday. C2 is now being, they sold out to Donahue and Associates in Champaign, so they're under a new company. It's still the same three people we'll be dealing with, but just under a bigger company.
Which is why we changed to begin with, but
we can see how it all pans out. I mean,
I'm kind of surprised they sold out. They just got that huge contract for the dam over in Danville.
Yeah.
It's maybe why they sold out.
Maybe why. You
know, maybe enticed to.
But if we just still get the same three guys and they still do the same type of work,
right,
at the same cost.
That's the
I'm sure the
I'm
cost
sure
will go up a little bit.
We'll have to verify. Mm-hmm. But I know we've got some pretty good information for, you know, not much money from them in the past. So it may not be quite the same. So and one other thing that I kind of want to touch base with, we've had some questions on some stuff through planning and zoning, and I'm on the planning and zoning in Philo. We have a land surveyor that comes in and helps discuss things through planning and zoning. I think that might be something that might help our planning and zoning department to kind of give their thoughts, give direction on possible ways that they could, instead of just kind of going by, well, this is what I think we should do, they might have a better idea countywide, what's out there, what's kind of the norm, and kind of give us some better guidance that way. And I don't know that Donahue has a land surveyor on staff, so that might be something we might look at to help planning and zoning out with some stuff that might come up in the future. You know, if we start doing any subdivision type work, I think we'll really need some help with that. And that's just a thought, you know, try and put something out there. Mark's not here this evening, but I think this would be maybe a better option, because this is something they deal with day to day, and not just, you know, once every 2-3 months. You know, this is what they do daily. So, and again, I know that's a little bit more cost, but I think it would help.
We need something to move them along.
It would help them better.
I agree. That's a good call.
And that's pretty much all I've got. So.
When is the house in Daggett coming down, do you think?
It's supposed to be in Jan, this month.
This month,
I thought it was April for some reason.
That's when it was.
Still April.
Oh, okay.
To finalize, just because they've got to have grass.
That's okay. So that's land prep,
yes.
A flat lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
said, and I haven't talked to contractor, but he said that it would be in January at some point in time. So, and I'm guessing it probably won't take 3 or 4 days to have that site cleared. So.
Yeah. Matt will be back tomorrow. But I told Woody when he was leaving today to go pick up some no trespassing sign. I don't care who gets them.
Yeah.
He was just the person I grabbed when I came in the door.
Yeah.
And they're just going to get some cheap no trespass signs from Walmart, so that way the police department has something they can actually enforce if we have to. They're extra patrolling it. And Rick's passed it off all of the shifts to extra patrol it. Yeah. So. And it's
now that it's gotten colder. Finally, it might help.
Yeah, it might help. But I mean, it's an attraction for kids. I mean, if I was that age, I'd probably be exploring too. So, anything else? I don't think we broke anything while you were gone.
That's good. We did take the backhoe up, had a little bit more service on that.
I heard about that. Yeah.
it's picked up.
It's never cheap.
I think, did you get the check in for Parkland?
Yeah, it's in here.
We did get the confirmation the ship is completed, so we gotta get the delivery set up on that yet. But other than that, that's pretty much.
The other shed's been demolished, hauled off.
Yeah.
Cool. Any questions for Matt? Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Rick?
Well, it's been pretty quiet on our end. New Year's Day evening went off without a hitch. No problems, no calls. I think the weather's got a lot to do with the slowness that we've got right now. Sometimes it gets too cold. When it gets a little warmer, then they get out and about a little bit more. So the New Year's Eve went very well. And of course, being right from the second day of the month, I haven't had a chance to do any of the paperwork. I'll have to come with the next one probably. One of the other things I'm thinking, I've got two projects I'd like to get done that I'm looking at. And one of them would be, I'd like to get our guys into a firearm simulator shoot scenarios. We've never done that before. Most of our qualifications is standing in front of a target and shooting at a target. So I'm thinking that we need to get a little bit more active in that, considering the fact that, you know, as you read across the nation, officers are being shot at all the time, and you never know when it may or may not happen. And this would be some good training for them so that they can understand when it's appropriate to shoot and not to shoot, instead of just sitting there looking at a target and shooting. So I think this would be well worth the money. I don't know what it costs yet because I haven't checked. But this is one of my thoughts for the year. I also am looking into the VP or Village Software. Seems like everything's going web. We're already doing our traffic crash reports through the web, and that's an IDOT thing. They've changed the format on that again. They keep changing the crash report system, so it's a learning process every time they do that. What that basically lets us do is when we're up on an accident scene, we can enter everything into this report right online and not have to worry about taking it all the way back and add the reports to our system and so forth. We can just pull it up online anytime we want. So it's a safe cost thing. It doesn't cost us anything for the program. The software is free, which is always good for me. So anyway, that's pretty cool. Our software on VP, he's taking it to going to the web and having everything online. Well, this is going to be real-time entries. In other words, we do not have to download, upload any of this stuff anymore. All of our cars are equipped with the internet. All we have to do is log on to our site. We'll have the security protocols that the Criminal Justice Information Authority says we have to have these kinds of things. He's in compliance of those. In fact, he's actually here in support, so it's simple him running down here. And it's going to, I think, from what it sounds like it's going to be pretty good. For us to use that, we may not even have to print reports anymore unless the state's attorney needs them, something like this, because we can do signatures, electronic signatures, things like this. We may not even have to print them, which would save us a lot of paper.
Yeah, if you can go paperless, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Even the state's attorney website, get on their portal where you can submit the PDFs.
Exactly. So, depending on how he's got that set up, that might be an option. Otherwise, we can just let it sit there until the state's attorney needs something, or if we have an arrest, we'll have to send it up to the state's attorney. But other than that, it would save us a whole bunch of folders and paper. So that's kind of the things that I'm looking at here. Currently, I'm not sure what the future is going to hold yet, but we'll see how that goes as we move on.
Perfect. Any questions for the chief? Alright, how about paying bills?
Motion to pay bills is presented.
I need a second.
I'll second.
Roll.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Truelock?
Yes.
And Murphy?
Here, yes. Not used to saying yes. Alright, any sewer credits or extensions? Alright, regular session minutes, December 18th, 2018.
Motion to approve regular meeting minutes from December 18th.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Perfect. We'll have executive session. We don't really have any discussion on this locating service thing, unless anybody wants to have anything to add. Special permits? I don't remember seeing any. I have one quick thing for executive session, and then we can get out of here. Anything from the gallery?
The only other thing I was going to say was we rescheduled the dump cleanup after all the rain the other day. We pushed that back another week. It's just pending weather out there. So.
Oh, it's a mess. I had that was one thing I did too when you're off. I came in and I got kicked out of the office, so I made Woody drive me out to the dump. I'm surprised we didn't get stuck, because he actually drove me out into it. I'm like, dude, I'm not pushing. So, but you know, it's better than it's been in a long time, because you've got things kind of piled. And I wrote up plans how I'd like to redo it. They're on my desk. One of them didn't turn out quite. You have to look at the plans on my desk. So,
what's your next session for?
I'll play real quick.
Okay. I can make motion enter into executive session for one purpose of discussing or hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees, 5 ILCS 120/2C1.
I'll second.
All right. We're in executive session here.
So, roll call.
Oh, roll call it. Never mind. Don't go there yet.
Buffo.
Yes.
Ping.
Yes.
Truelock.
Yes.